Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Alicia Shanice Reviews. I am your host, it's your girl Shanice, coming back at you with another podcast. We are on episode 312 and today's topic is BMF season 3 episode 8 titled Code Red. The description reads, Meech returns to Atlanta to learn that the city and his love now belongs to Glock. He is determined to take the city from his competitors, yet he learns to do this in a smart manner. So y'all already know how we do. We about to get into it, break it down, dissect it from Atlanta to Detroit, from Detroit to Atlanta like we do over here on this platform. After that, I will play the trailer for episode 9. Then I have a sleeper for you guys in my Joe Budden style. Shout out to the pod, Father Joey. As always, if you need to get in touch with me, Facebook, Instagram, email, you can inbox, DM, or email me. If you have recap requests, if you have any businesses or brands or anything I can help promote, shout out, support, hit your girl up. Either one of those platforms. And it's free of charge because I love whom loves me. And love is spread love and support back. Also, don't forget to tap into the book readings. I have another one Sunday evening. The link is below if you want to purchase the book or share it to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend, because we got to spread the word. Big congratulations to 50 Cent, who just opened the G Unit Studio. So, you know, we are honorary Green Light gang members over here. So that is a big salute to the GOAT, 50 Cent. But yeah, we about to get into the show. If you need to get in touch with me, all of the links are below in the description box. I'm giving away a few more books. So if you know anybody who is currently incarcerated, please email me only their information. I will need their first and last name, inmate number, and correctional facility address. And I will ship them a free book directly from Amazon. And don't forget to share, and tell a friend, and tell a friend, and tell a friend about The Tale of the Park Hill Crew, Volume 1, written by your very own host, Alicia Shanice. Volume 2 will be released, I'm thinking, probably in September. So, yeah, I know. Let me keep y'all informed and updated. But let's go ahead and get into the show and let's talk BMF, Code Red. One mic. All I need is one mic. That's all I need. All I need is one mic. All I need, niggas. All I need is one mic. Hey y'all, it's your girl Shanice, dropping in really quick to remind you to protect your energy and stay away from anybody who is an enemy to your energy. And how is the best way to do that? Why not take you a vacation? And you know your girl Shanice got y'all. Why don't you get with your favorite travel agent, TB Booked It. The world is a beautiful place. Let TB Booked It go ahead and help you discover it. You can find them on Instagram at TB Booked It or send them an email directly at tbbookedit@gmail.com. And they got all of the reasonable deals, and let them know your girl Shanice, she sent you there. Get out there, y'all. The world is beautiful. Go ahead and let them discover it for you.
Name is Shanice, and she's the one. Her name is Shanice, and she's the one.
You can wish me a man, at least 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 you can wish me a man,
Let's talk about it. This was a solid episode. I mean, it was cool. I enjoyed it. We about to break it down like we do over here. So as always, it opens up with the story you're about to see. It's loosely based on truth. Some of the names, characters, businesses, and events have been fictionalized for dramatic purposes. But a lot of this shit may have actually happened. And we get a quote, this time from Southwest T. At the end of the day, it was always about business and nothing personal. I counted the wins and losses. Terry Southwest T. Flannery. Then we get the opening scene. We're back in ATL. Meech has returned. He's returned to one of his favorite spots, the strip club. And Meech is sitting there looking like he want his old thing back. If we're going to keep it all the way honest. He's sitting there. He looking. Angel pussy popping all on Glock. And Meech gets the basically showing us the introduction of the what BMF is known for. He gets to showing a definition of yes, as I've stated before, when we covered the BMF docuseries, the documentaries and all, BMF created the definition of make it rain. They were the first ones who known how to throw that paper out at the strip club, and nobody did it like them. So we see the introduction of that, and that pissed Glock off. He rolls the fuck out after that because they hadn't seen that done like that before. So then we see stripper number two. She offers herself to Meech to get Angel off his mind. So it cuts back to Detroit, and Terry and Hoop talk about Goro. And put together that Goro is the one that actually killed Peaches to get her connect. And Terry, you know, he steps his game up to step to the Caldeens and dry her out. And that was a good plan. I have to say, T impressed me this episode. But we knew he was going to move a little slower than Meech. Not because he's slow. Terry is very smart, especially the real Terry. But as far as the show, he's very smart, but he's younger. And, you know, he's young, so it's hot-headedness. He's always, you know, in competition with his big brother, always trying to prove himself that he's a boss in his own right as well, which he is. But I have to say, we've seen more of T stepping up his game and not using his temper or his emotional side with Markeisha, and more coming up with a game plan of, we got to get Goro the fuck out of here. So that was a good plan, T. So next we go back to ATL, and Superhead gives Milehead basically a meech because she tried to get Angel out of his system, and that shit didn't work. She thought she was about to be, you know, his new Captain Save-A-Ho, and it didn't work. It didn't work. Meech went old school Snoop Dogg. We don't love them hoes, and put her ass on out. Like, I ain't looking for no girl right now. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted, you know, to go down a little bit. I'm about to go back out here, throw some little money out. You did your thing. It was cool. Slap, 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 slap. And she stormed out pissed off. So we get into the next scene, and we get this corny, lame officer Vince harassing T. Now, he harassing T in his legal place of business, all because of some shit Markeisha tied ass and started in the first place, with her old ass deciding to act like she Terry's age and play juvenile jealous games. And Terry, is she really worth all the problems, bruh? Is she really worth all of the problems? You should have stayed with your baby mama, bruh. But let the drama begin. Because now the officer is on your ass. Next scene, we go back to ATL. We see the Red Dogs ain't playing, and they is pulling over. They is shaking down all of the hustlers. Now Meech sees them, and we know he is always one step ahead of the game. And we see his plan in motion later on in the episode when he puts his plan in motion with the baking soda. So, next scene, we see back in Detroit, Sister Lucille is hosting a prayer sister testimony sanctuary at the Flannery House. And one of the good sisters' testimony touches Miss LaWanda, and she has an epiphany. Now, it cuts back, and we see that, you know, it's 1996. The Olympics is coming to Atlanta, so it's time for them to clean up the streets. We see the news footage on TV, and Meech meets up with Claude about getting Remy out of the way so they can, you know, link crews up. Now, back to Detroit. Detective Brian is having a tough time dealing with the loss of Kevin. And Jen comes over there to check on him because he hasn't been, you know, returning her calls. He's basically been ignoring all her calls. And he's in there, he's drinking, he's all over the place. And she comes in there and tells him, like, you know what, I get you, you know, the pity party, that's cool and all. But right now I need for you to clean yourself up because they got some dope dealers to get off the street, and they got to get justice for little Kevin and Officer Kobe. And, you know, we can tell that they really care for each other, and I'm here for it. I don't hate Detective Brian like everybody else does, just because I understand from a human side of where he was coming from and why he got pissed off at Meech in the first place. I think Meech, the way how he handled that situation with B. Mickey shooting J-Mo, and the way how he handled it was wrong, in my opinion. If you go back to the original episode, Brian was dirty, but he was looking out for Meech. You know, he had love for him. He was his coach back in the day. He had love for him. And when he brought J-Mo to him, yeah, he was being dirty, but he still had a job to do too, and cover his own ass so he could continue to look out for him. Yeah, he was getting some little side money too, but let's keep it real. These cops don't make shit to be putting their damn lives on the line. But, you know, with all that being said, the way how Meech handled it, I didn't like it, and I didn't respect it. Of course, he was looking out for B. Mickey, but I still felt like if he would have worked with Brian more to cover up that body being like that, and he, you know, it wasn't looking so bad on him to where Ramirez was looking into Brian, he wouldn't have went that damn rogue and all that shit wouldn't have happened. Not saying Brian didn't have no faults, but I seen faults in Meech as well. So I just don't hate Detective Brian like everybody else does. And my man does a really good job playing this character. So after Jan picks him up and they decide, you know, that they're going to take Goro down. They go on a mission, and he gives her the 411 on Goro's crew. Now, we see Tyson. Tyson is Goro's right-hand man and her cousin, and we see that they putting it together that Tyson is the one who more than likely put Kevin's protection, because he was in the sign-in log right when he got protection and right when protection got put off of him. So we know that's Tyson's ass right there. And we also see Jen, she's still having a hard time herself because she's never recovered from losing her sister. And not only that, she was building a sisterhood with Colby. And for her to get gunned down like that, it brought all that trauma back and, you know, losing her friend, sister. It was just a lot. So these two are trauma bonding and they already had a connection anyway. So we go into the next scene. And Terry goes to talk to Sam at the little party mini store. And in Michigan, we have a lot of little mini mart stores everywhere. And we see he gets an idea about the lottery hustle. And yes, y'all, shit like this goes down. And I'm a need for BMF writers to top, you know, to stop telling secrets in these shows for us number players, because we don't want to claim shit on our taxes and we don't want the IRS on our ass. But yeah, lottery scams definitely go on and some real shit. So I did like on how they put this in the episode. You just got to find the right stuff. So we go back to the Flannery house and LaWanda decides, you know, she has her epiphany. She heard that woman's testimony and it touched her heart. And she decides, you know what? It's time to let T go and go to cosmetology school. She wants to do hair. She wants to get herself together. And I'm here for it because, like I told y'all last week, LaWanda, bitch, go dye your hair back blonde. Have a little small 2-week hoe phase. Get it out your system. And boss up, bitch, because we love some LaWanda. And we all know LaWandas. We done all been LaWandas where we done put it all, you know, all on the line for a man, especially your first baby daddy. Woo, 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 woo. And it just happens like that. But LaWanda, it's okay. Go. Dye your hair back blonde. Have your little 2-week hoe phase. Have some fun. Get it out your system. And go to cosmetology school and boss up. You will find you another man, girl. But anyway, we go into the next scene. Now, Papa Charles comes in the house and he is all excited about being asked to sing in the band. And he invites the love of his life to come see him perform and hear Lucille go playing Marquisha games, asking, can she bring Maurice? Mama Lucille, hell no, you can't bring Doctor. Don't this man got patients or surgery or something to do? Damn, Mama Lucille, Charles is trying. Charles is trying at this point. And he's still trying. He holding his composure with your little Marquisha games and all. Now, damn, what? How many times he hit Miss Mabel from the back? Once or twice? God damn, let it go. So we're going to the next scene. Now, little Nicole. She got her little fast self. She done snuck on out. She out with Breeze. He writing little, will you go with me letters to her? And all I could think was, Nicole, go home. Go home. So it cuts to the next scene. And Meech is always one step ahead of the game and goes to the mechanic to see if he can get some secret compartments stashed in the cars to stay off the Red Dog's trail. And he decides to send one of the runners out for a test drive with the baking soda. And we've seen that play out a little later. And we've seen the Red Dogs look the stupid as hell because old boy was like, hold on, this don't feel right. And he thought it was a brick of cocaine, but no, it was baking soda. So, like I said, Meech is always one step ahead of the game. And then that's when he figures out, okay, it's time to go to Miami. So we go into the next scene, and this is back in Detroit. boys will be boys, and Breeze and his little homie is in the store. They getting some rubbers. Now Breeze did say, like, you know, I don't need nothing right now. You know, me and my girl, we taking our time, we taking it slow. And Terry sees them with his good eye and shakes his head like he wasn't doing the same goddamn thing with LaWanda a few years back. And it was all good. He just shook his little head and bought his little whatever he bought and walked outside, and it was all good. So he looked in that car and seen little Nicole, little Nikki in the back seat, and Terry went full big brother mode, and I loved every minute of it. I have no complaints. Nicole, take your ass home. Terry did the right damn thing, because he know what little boys want. Even though Bree seemed cool, at one point Terry knew he was cool, and look at how he doing Markeisha. I mean, not Markeisha. He loved Markeisha. With his simp ass. Look how he doing LaWanda. So we go into the next scene. And Claude attempts to recruit the members of Techwood crew over to BMF. Now Remy comes in, and Remy gets to slicing and dicing because he only want real ATL dudes hustling, especially out of Techwood. Now again, I understand where he's coming from. Don't no nigga who done been the man in they city want to let an outsider come taking stuff over. That's just what it is. If you a real boss, you're not about to lay down and let some other dude come take over your city. Now, I feel him on what he's saying, but the way how he's handling it is reckless. And this will be Remy's downfall, because we know eventually Meech took over the game and he outlasted most. So we go into the next scene. And Goro gets a visit from her uncle to keep, to help her with her little debt. Because he feels sorry for her and the way her dad treated her. And, you know, after he leaves, Tyson tells her, you know, he'll always hold her down and all that other stuff. Now, I seen what they was doing in this episode. They was giving Goro more of a human sympathy backstory. But you know what? You know who still don't feel sorry for her? Me. I don't feel sorry for Goro, and I don't want to hear none of her sob stories about what happened to her mom and how her dad had mistreated her whole life. I don't care. Because, bitch, you didn't feel sorry for little Kevin. You didn't feel sorry when you was setting niggas on fire. So I don't feel sorry for Goro. She lost her connect. She lost her cousin. And hell, she might lose herself next episode. So we go into the next scene. And Terry hooks Papa Charles up with a lineup and throws him, you know what I'm saying, a few $100 to help out with getting Lucille away from the good doctor. Now, I did love their father and son moment. I love when Charles has his father and son moments with Meech as well, because with Terry is cool and I love it. I just love to see a dad being a dad, especially an old school dad. But with Meech, he was always so hard on him. So I really thoroughly enjoyed watching him and Meech bond more. But him and Terry is wonderful too. And you know, Terry looks out for him. We know eventually he ends up getting involved. But we kind of see it slowly progressing here. And we go into the next scene. Now, this is still the same scene, but after, you know, Papa Charles and Terry had a heart-to-heart, and he gives them a couple dollars to get Mama Lucille back, Meech calls in with restaurant cold drug talk, and they, you know, talk about the restaurants and the recipes, and, you know, it's cold talk. So we go into Techwood, back in ATL, and the Red Dogs run through the projects, and one of the dads, who has nothing to do with the drug game, He gets into their ass. He like, you know what? Y'all want to come around here. Y'all supposed to be running every drug dealer out of Georgia, but y'all harassing people who ain't got nothing to do with this. Now, if y'all want to harass somebody, where the hell was y'all at when this you know, shootout happened and I lost my son, Milton? Because I'm thinking this is Milton's dad. And dude had a point. Because in my humble opinion, law enforcement wasn't all the way wrong for coming hard the way they did, because shit got out of control after the drug epidemic. But the thing was, it was only when it was about one of theirs, the fellow brothers in blue, getting killed, or when it was something like you know, big corps or Olympics come into cities, and it was time for them to crack down and bring money to the city. But when, you know, everything was cool and, you know, it wasn't nothing but blind eyes and open under the seats wallets. So I do believe, yes, they should have cracked down because we've seen what happened to our inner city communities. But it was the way on how it was done as well. And it was like when it was cool, when the CIA was pushing the shit over here, did nobody care. But when it was time for money to come in or, you know, somebody getting killed, like what happened in Southside Jamaica, Queens with Edward Burns, the rookie cop, that's when they wanted to come down crashing. But when it was, you know, other innocent people in their communities getting harassed, killed, and all that other demonic stuff going on, they could care less. But that's a whole nother story for a whole nother story. We covered that in our crack epidemic podcast when we did that documentary. So we go into the next scene. And Terry tells Markeisha about bringing Charles, you know, in just to come in and do repairs. And also about the lottery scheme. Now, once again, these lottery schemes do happen, but let's keep the shit off television. Now, they get to showing us how the hustle works. And Markeisha being Markeisha goes to the basically planting seeds in Terry's head. You're better than Meech. Terry, you're a boss. You can do this without Meech. Forget Meech. And I'm like, you know what? That's why I don't like this bitch. She ain't doing nothing but planting seeds. And we know what eventually happens later on with Meech and Terry's relationship. See? Them planting seeds in the heads early on and get the adding up and building resentment. And all of a sudden, it's going to come out at a party in a couple years. So we get into the next scene. And Glock puts a plan in motion to put a hit on Meech after the Red Dogs hit his spots. And Angel, you know, she hears it. Of course, she still cares about Meech. And she ends up warning him later on in the episode. And they kind of have a little closure moment before she transfers to dance to Miami. So we go into the next scene. And Lucille goes to see Papa Charles perform with the band. And they was all flirty, flirty, smiley, smiley, like two kids in high school. And this was a nice scene. It was a nice scene. Hell, Charles got to acting like he was Meech, throwing that goddamn money at Lucille like he a dope dealer and shit. And all I could think is, y'all ass out here acting like y'all in high school. Where the hell is Nicole at? Go home. Go home. She like, what would have happened if we wouldn't have got Lucille? Go find your daughter and leave Charles alone. Leave what Betty Wright say? I'm going to remind y'all what Betty Wright said. Doing the best he can. And we see Lucille still love him after the pain. So we go into the next scene after we see the Flannery love verse. But they cute though. They cute though. And we wanted to work out, but we know how, you know, reality played out. But I want to say they still remain good friends. So we go into the next scene, and Officer Vince brings his lame ass in the bar, harassing Terry and Markeisha. And Markeisha ends up telling him to step off after Terry reads him his life rights. And all I could think was, okay, Terry, you read him and all. I mean, that's cool, Captain Kirk. But at the same time, Markeisha is the one who got all this stuff started. So we're not finna sit here and praise her for telling an officer to step off when she brought the officer in for the drama. Bitch, stop. So we go into the next scene from Captain Kirk and Markeisha, and we see Jen. She meets up with Goro. Now they meet up for drinks, and we see Jen is back undercover with her blonde wig. And she gets Goro to open up, and we learn more about Goro's past, and they talk about their personal lives. And we see two officers come in, and Jen plants a kiss on Goro. So we get into the next scene, and Meech gets a bottle sent to his table, so he thought. But in actuality, it was just Claude's heads on ice. And Remy comes in gloating, and Meech puts a thought in his head without even giving him any threats of violence, just upcoming, you know, betrayal that he'll be getting soon, and his crew will be jumping ship because look at how reckless he's acting. Now, Remy knows he's telling the damn truth because he grabs his girl and they dip. So we get into the next scene, and Terry meets up with the Caldeens because Sam hooked up that meeting. So Sam was good for everything, you know, with the lottery schemes, hooking us up with the store. You know, Sam, he was doing his thing this episode, hooking Terry up. Now he meets up with the Caldeens and offers them, you know, basically more money in their pockets and a better business deal from real business people instead of Goro. And, you know, he like, you know, I only got one, you know what I'm saying, one request. You gotta cut Goro off. And they agree. So I'm just like, good shit, T. Good shit. I mean, this episode, T stepped up. And I wasn't mad at him. So we get into the next scene, and Meech has a party of three, and it turns into a battle with a gun, some little wrestling, him knocking another nigga out, throwing him out the window. One of the hoes got shot. It was just a mess. So we go into the next scene, and Goro and Jin get closer, and then she sees Jin's scars, because, you know, we know Jin cuts herself. And I'm guessing that was the mental health warning we had at the beginning of the episode. But they get close. And then Jen ends up seeing a family picture. And she gets the hell out of there quicker than a running back at a Super Bowl game. I'm like, well, who the hell was in that picture? But when you zoom in, it just looked like Goro and her two cousins. So I don't know what that was about. But we'll see next episode. So next scene, Meech calls T to have him meet up in Miami to meet up with Mac. You know, Mac the boxer. Remember, he had all those, he had that Rolls Royce and he had all those secret compartments. So they're going down to Miami to meet up with his mechanic. Now, Duffy is trying to warn Meech, like, Meech, I don't know if that's a good idea. You know, that's Glock turf and he's going to be down there. But, you know, Meech, he all about the business. He'll worry about the beef shit later. So he tells Terry, you know, we got to go. Now, Terry get the complaining, of course, because last time he went out of town without Markeisha permission, he got in trouble. So he gets the complaining, but of course, he agrees to meet him down there. And then we get into the last scene where we see my nigga Detective Brian. He catches Tyson slipping. Catch him slipping. Shit, Brian, he took a puff of that stogie. He grabbed that goddamn bottle, took it to the head. Brian got out that goddamn car. Brian wasn't playing no games. Brian beat the shit out of him. No, he didn't beat the shit out of him. Brian beat the life out of him. Hell, he had me playing this goddamn song right after that. Brian was like, payback's a bitch, period. So this episode was solid. It was solid. I don't really have no complaints. It was a solid episode. I enjoyed it. I'm about to play the trailer because we only got two episodes left, 9 and 10. And shout out to 50 Cent because we are honorary Greenlight Gang members for the new studio, G-Unit. And don't go anywhere. Here is the trailer for next week's episode. Alright, so that's next episode. Episode 9 is called Death Trap. And it looks like it's gonna be all about Miami. We see Angel down there, we see MK's Glock down there. We know that's Glock's hometown turf now. We know Meech and T, they're going to be all right. And we know they're going to get that mechanic on lock. We've seen how it played out in the docuseries. We know that they do, you know, a lot of stuff loosely based, but that's for dramatic purposes. But we know it's going to work itself out. So I imagine that episode 9 will probably be fire and a lot of action and gun battles. Now, we only got 2 more episodes, and then the first week in June, we get Power Book 2 Ghost back. And I know my podcast family, I know that's y'all favorite. So it's entertaining for sure. So I'm going to be recapping that. But you know, they split it in half and they're starting to release pictures and little small clips because it's the final season. I can't believe that they're canceling it because that's one of their highest rated shows, but I know they said it was very costly, so I won't be surprised if we get a spinoff, probably a spinoff with Kane or possibly Effie, because Effie's backstory is still really hidden, and I think it'll be interesting. I know she was a fan favorite. Not only that, Courtney Kemp loved it writing Effie's character because she was so mystique. So we have that to look forward to next up for Power Universe. Now, a special congratulations to the GOAT, Curtis Jackson, aka 50 Cent, aka who one day I'm gonna get my book deal to and get a show. We speaking of a positivity in existence here, okay? One day I'm gonna work with Fifth. But Fifth is definitely the man. Fifth overcame against all odds, for real, for real. I did a dedication episode to him just talking about why he inspires me so much, and he just inspires me on the daily. Like, seriously, we support everything 50 Cent over here. But yes, 50 Cent has officially launched G-Unit Studios in Louisiana, so it's gonna be way much more to come, and hopefully the tale of the Park Hill crew will be a part of the Greenlight Gang officially and not just an honorary mention. But yeah, that is who my sleeper is dedicated to in my Joe Budden style. Shout out to the Pie Father Joey. But yeah, I'm going to play 50 Cent. And I just think this song just speaks volumes and speaks his character and his legacy and his career. So here's my sleeper, and I'll be right back on.
I came in the world crying and fussing. Nigga, we ain't had nothing. Every ghetto I know the same. Trying to make a little change. Bridge man come around talking. I don't know where he'll keep up. I'm putting blood in the pot. Whipping to him, pulling off a lot. Imagine when I'm pulling off a lot. The new shit come without a top. But tomorrow night ain't never gonna stop. Bitch, tomorrow night ain't never gonna stop. Personal, believe me. Fuck around, your bitch don't wanna leave me. She take your flight, she made with a mock town, not a crime. She want me to fly in and put it down. Slut tour, girl, nigga, had that ass flying in first class. She just seem to be regular, she don't want nothing regular. Throw me on when she talks past that fat ass. You know I want to get with it, so then let's get it. Too much on my mind right now. I'm on the grind right now. Looking for me, still got it, I need to be found right now. I got my nine right now. You should blow your mind right now. I ain't fucking around right now. Better get in line right now. I'll fuck around and die right now. Hope you understand that. Bitch, I'm the man. Oh, I'm the man. But if you know I'm the man. Bitch, I'm the man.
Yes, you are, Fifth. Green light gang over here, baby. All right, y'all. That was my sleeper. I'm the Man by 50 Cent. We about to go into a new week. So on Sunday, chapter 12. Damien's Two Worlds Collide will drop at 6 o'clock. Tune in for that. Please tune in for that. I need for y'all to tune in for the readings of the Tale of the Park Hill Crew. This is just volume one. I need your support. Share, share, share. Tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend. Cop that book. Tag me. Leave. Let me know what you think, who your characters, who you like, who you don't like. Leave a comment on Amazon. Leave a comment on Spotify. Hit me up. I want all the feedback. Volume 2, I'm going to try to get that out in September, if it's in the good Lord's will. You know, sometimes when you try to plan stuff, God will tell you, oh, you think you about to plan that, really? He'll show you who in control. So if you want to make God laugh, plan your life. But that is my plan, if it's in his will, that I will have that done by September, because I learned a lot in volume one with the whole process, so I'm more knowledgeable now. So it should go easy, hopefully. But I do want to tell you guys to, if you get out this weekend, have fun, but you know, be safe, protect yourself, protect your energy, stay away from anybody who is an enemy to your energy, because you do not need that shit in your life. You don't need any drama, you don't need any negativity. The year of 2024 is all about leveling up. Avoid distractions, try to eat as best as you can. I know sometimes we're busy, we don't have time to cook healthy, you know, everything is so expensive, but just try to eat as best as you can. Try to exercise. If you can't get to a gym, try to go for a 20-minute walk. Just try to do that. Not only is walking good for like physicalness, fitness, but also for mental stability. Like sometimes when you walk and the sun is shining, it does something to your personality. It brings light into your life. So just try to get some type of exercise in. Just try to clear your mind, avoid distractions, and think about what you really want to do and go for it. And even, I don't care how crazy it sounds, if you want to go be an astronaut, you study on astronauts, you go research it, and you go do for it. Because the sky is the limit, and can't nobody tell you what you can't do. If you put your mind to it, and you put all of your time and research, and you put your foot down and say, I'm going to do this, and you go for it, you can be whatever you want to be. I don't care how old you is, what obstacles you have against you. If you really put that mindset, you can do it. I have faith in you. You guys are great. You guys are dope. And that's what I always say. If you're working on something, let me know, because I want to support back. And that's just how I am. I want to support back. Information for me, if I have it, it's free. You know, so many people know certain things and they want to hide information. But I'm not in competition with nobody. I might not be the best podcaster. I might not be the best writer. I might not be the best speaker. But you know what? I'm trying to be the best I can be. I want to be the best version of myself I can be, through the strength that God blesses me with. So I try to pass that energy on to you guys, because some people just don't have people to speak that greatness into them and let them know how great they are. So that's why I always tell you guys are great. And I'm always here for you if you need any advice that I can give. I don't have all my stuff together either, but I take it one day at a time. And one day at a time, I get better and better and better. Not some, you know, of course, not every day is sunshine, because life will life. But at the same time, sometime when life is lifing, it's just making you more resilient and making you more stronger. As the great 50 Cent once said, sometimes depression is a luxury because it builds that resilience in you and that strength in you, and it teaches you lessons. So, you know, sometimes we have to really appreciate the bad days along with the good days. But even when you're having them, still don't forget to thank the man above. So anyway, I just want to tell you guys, I'm sending you nothing but love and high vibrations. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I'll be back on Sunday. Make sure you tune into that, and, you know, hit me up, even if it's just to say what's up. So I love you guys. Thank you for your support. I surely hope you guys enjoyed this pod. And it's your girl, Shanice, and I'm out.
Hope you enjoyed the show with your girl, Shanice.